Yo, yo, we're live. What's up, guys? Good to be back. I'm your host, Omelette Benobi, a.k.a. Lil Weezy, because we're still Lil Weezy from the sick break I took last week. And we got T-Dog over here, Taylor Trandall.
I hobbled back in the office today.
He hobbled back in the office. I don't know if you guys can see his crutches in his shot, but Taylor broke his foot. He broke the old foot. The old pedal. He's now no longer a bipedal. He's a unipedal. And, you know, that's where we're at today. We're falling apart, but we're still here.
I'm still peddling facts. You guys. Though.
We're still pedal pushing facts, ladies and gentlemen. And today we're going to talk about a really interesting subject matter, the World Economic Forum, which is now being hosted in Switzerland as we speak. They're having the discussions about your future. So we're going to be talking about the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, all the corporations and major figures behind it, because I'm sure you've been hearing the words the Great Reset for quite some time right now as sort of this ominous, ever-present structure of your future of owning nothing and being totally surveilled by the government, but being so happy about it. And we're going to talk about the prospect of that, who's trying to push for it, what are the major players, and is it something that we should really be worried about? Or is it just a group of like-minded individuals working to make a more sustainable future? I want to start with this video of a young man by the name of Yuval Noah Harari. Here's what he has to say and what he's contributing to the World Economic Forum.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We're now seeing mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
I don't like it one bit.
The creepy music, though, too. The whole thing's like perfect.
I know. So, yeah, this is a guy by the name of Yuval Noah Harari, who is a contributor to the World Economic Forum, also a historian, philosopher, and an author. And he's one of the many intellects and minds that is working at the World Economic Forum as we speak right now in Switzerland to discuss the prospect of our future and what they describe as this fourth industrial revolution, this massive, rapid onset of technological innovation and development, coupled with all the different issues that we share as a global society, as they would say, and how we can go into this new technological future while also discussing these issues and as a global society coming to a conclusion on how we fix them. Now, you'll often hear about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset and all of these massive things that are new to me in many ways and probably new to you in many ways, spoken about as sort of this ominous figure that is ever present and lurking on you and is going to change the world if they get their claws in the right position to do so. And I want to talk about that. What the World Economic Forum says it is on its website and its brochures, how it markets itself as a future that is meant to be sustainable, equitable, a word that we love, and impartial, and how they talk to us about their future and how we see the world being more sustainable and equitable for everybody who lives here. And we want to solve the problems, particularly as it pertains to things like climate change and the environment. You'll find that that's much of what they talk about and discuss as the WEF. Now, is that something that we should be scared of? Is that something that should set off alarm bells? Because on its face, it doesn't sound too horrible. You would think that most people can agree that the Earth is a very precious thing, this rock that we live on, and that we should do things to make it sustainable, make life better for all of those involved. And I think a lot of us can recognize that there is a massive disparity, particularly as it pertains to class, that is creating a divide between those who we would call the elite and the others, the other classes, the middle class, the lower class, the impoverished. And I think on both sides of the aisle, people can look at that and go, well, that doesn't seem too great. That seems like something we should fix. The World Economic Forum and people like Klaus Schwab and the great resetters of the world are claiming to want to solve those problems as well. But what scares me, or what really sets off alarm bells, is some of the rhetoric and some of the ideas behind the Great Reset and how we structure this new globalist economy that apparently we should be having. And it seems to me that a lot of it surrounds massive surveillance in with our government entities, not just here in the United States, but across the world, and using that surveillance to control what we do economically, what we do with our lifestyles, giving the government all of our resources, and then being judged based on what we give the world. You'll hear a lot of this surrounding 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. It seems as though with the Great Reset, their view of the future is you wake up in the year 2030, you are in a government-owned housing unit that they have decided to give to you for a time being, and when you're gone, someone else will live there. You make breakfast with your government-owned appliances, and you go to work in your safely scored, low-carbon emission car that the government has chosen for you. It's payday at work today, but you don't have to worry about it because you have a central banking digital currency that goes immediately to your digital wallet, where also your passports are housed. All of your financial transactions are housed and looked at by the government. All of your health information is housed and looked at by the government. There's no form of privacy under what we call this central banking digital currency system. And right after work, you think, you know, it's been a really long day. I think I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy a nice big bar of chocolate. And when you go to check out, the cashier says, oh, I'm so sorry. You've gone over your personal carbon allowance for this week, and I can't sell you this high carbon product. You're going to have to go home empty-handed. That's what it seems to me is the future that people at the WEF, World Economic Forum, seem to be fighting for. Now, I could be totally wrong. I will suspend much of what I've seen so far to take a deep dive with you today, look at the World Economic Forum's website, look at some of the videos that they put out, how they market themselves, what they claim to be doing, and what the New York Post has called the most exclusive party, which is happening right now in Switzerland as the World Economic Forum meets. And this is a group of young intellectuals, philosophers, world leaders, celebrities coming together, corporations meeting together, and we will talk about what corporations here shortly, meeting to discuss your future. Do you look at those people, these people who claim to have nothing but sustainability in their hearts and in their minds, and do you trust them with coming up with decisions and ideas that will fully affect your future and how you live in this country, regardless of where you're viewing right now? I know a lot of people outside of the United States are viewing this content right now and watching this show. Do you trust these people to be making decisions? Do you trust your world leaders to be discussing what exactly happens with your life in the year 2030 and whether or not that is a life filled with surveillance and no privacy and no private ownership? So let's watch a video from the World Economic Forum. This is on their page, weforum.org, and this is their story. Here's the end of that video where they are discussing what their major plan is, what the world looks like to them.
We always put humanity and human in center.
And that's where the forum is at its best. It's as a way to shine a spotlight of where the world community could be headed.
We have the incredible potential of the information technologies, of the ways of communicating. We're only at the beginning of recognizing how far that is going to change our lives.
Each one of the fourth industrial revolution technologies has that potential to create a society that's more positive, that's more sustainable, that's more inclusive.
If we can accelerate the formulation of a solution for a rare disease or climate or access to healthcare by a single day, it means a lot to a big chunk of the world population.
Light aa gaya, kaisa lag raha hai? Bahut acha lag raha hai. Aur apne kaam karne ko bahut acha lag raha hai.
This is about shaping the trajectory of our planet, being that credible, neutral platform that is trusted to bring these stakeholders together and provide them guidance that they're willing to implement.
Valuing equally that lots of different people might have a contribution to give. Because it often is some of those sort of rare ideas that are coming from an unexpected place that happen to be the game changers.
I like sci-fi movies. I don't like when sci-fi movies play out in my real life and I watch them in front of my eyes as we watch world leaders like Xi Jinping of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, shake hands of other world leaders and talk about how we're moving towards a more sustainable and equitable future. Really think about that for a moment. In your description of a sustainable and equitable future, your background B-roll is President Xi Jinping shaking hands with people. We also see leaders like Macron and Prince William making their appearance in this. And to me, this could look like, oh, it's just people meeting, and isn't this so beautiful? We talk about unity so much. Isn't it so great to see all of these world leaders unite in one spot? But when those world leaders don't have your best interest at heart, that's not such a great thing to see them all meeting in one spot and shaking hands. And like I said, a lot of the language, as with so many things in life, is so beautiful and sounds so harmonious. Like we're truly going to meet with all the billions of people who now inhabit this earth, and we're going to build something that works for all of them. What a beautiful thing to hear. But when we go in and look at the major players who are having these discussions, and we analyze what their motives might be, even though they tell us there is really no motive, they're completely impartial, and their only motive is to make things better for everybody involved, we have to question that when we look at the players involved here. And if we get to, let's say that this is truly their goal, the World Economic Forum and all this great reset stuff and the fourth industrial revolution is really about solving human issues, solving the issues of poverty and hunger and having people have access to water all over the world and healthcare and working through these problems like pandemics that pop up all of a sudden and affect the world globally. If that's really their goal, to make sure that these problems do not happen again and that everybody lives in this sustainable future, is that a goal worth getting to through the means that they mean to use, like massive surveillance and lack of privacy and complete government regulation and this sort of overlord view of what the government can be in order to sustain that future for us? Now, a lot of people will look at that and go, yes. If that means we fix things like world hunger, we fix things like poverty and access to water and pandemics, yes, give the government control of all resources, allow them to do anything that they need to do, allow them to communicate with different countries across the globe so that we can do this globally and come to one massive agreement on these things. A lot of people will look at that and go, I think that's a fair trade-off. And if that means me losing my privacy and my individual freedoms and civil liberties, by all means, I will make that trade. And that is for you to decide. So I hope by the end of this episode, you can decide. I don't err on that side of being willingly giving up my civil liberties and freedoms in order to sustain a future like that, because I feel as though a future that operates without those freedoms and without those civil liberties is a future that is not worth living in, and it doesn't actually bring about things like life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, all of these things that we currently get to enjoy in our country here in the United States. So is it worth sacrificing and losing those things? And is that something at stake? Now, you'll see this man's face. We won't play his video because it's 14 minutes of him just droning on about his view, but he is very much the pusher of this, Klaus Schwab, and you'll see his name everywhere. He is the one who came up with this idea of the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and all that fun stuff, and he's very much the kingmaker here. He's deciding who's playing the game, who's in it, who's able to make decisions, and where they are meeting. He's also notorious for looking up to the CCP and the Chinese government and saying what a wonderful thing that they've done with their dictatorship and their tyrannical use of government power in their country. So something to look out for there. Now, the World Economic Forum describes itself as such: impartial. We have no ideological or commercial interests. This does not mean that we are neutral. We are committed to improving the world in ways that are objective, measurable, and sustainable. So the same people who are telling you they have no ideological or commercial, remember that, commercial interests, are the ones housing Xi Jinping, Bill Gates, Elton John, who we all know where he lies politically, Greta Thunberg, on their brochure for what they stand for and a platform for impact. So are they really ideologically and commercially ambiguous. They don't have any ties there. They don't have any interests. They certainly are global, that second word that they're defined by, because they are basically infiltrating every single major government and getting together to set forth this plan. And we will talk about what this plan is. They describe themselves as holistic. We actively invite perspectives from all interested parties. We'll see about that later as well. Jack Poso, who's been on this show before, went to report on the World Economic Forum and to record a lot of the things happening there, and was just detained in Switzerland. I believe it was a temporary detainment, but we can question whether or not they're interested in the perspectives of all parties. And then forward-looking, because again, this affects your future. By 2030, you'll own nothing, completely surveilled by the government, and you will love it. And you might be thinking, Amala, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying that by 2030, this will be the case? Well, it's the words of the World Economic Forum people themselves. There's actually an article that I believe was written for the New York Post that you can look up, and that says, literally, welcome to 2030. It's written by one of the World Economic Forum contributors. I own nothing. I'm completely surveilled by the government, and I'm so happy about it. And I will link that, hopefully, down below in the description so that you guys can go and look at it. So let's talk about, for a moment, what this looks like as far as the Great Reset coming to fruition. Well, it's going to happen in three pillars or three phases, because you have to think that in order to build a sustainable future for truly everybody involved, everybody on this great big rock that we're all floating on, you have to have a massive amount of surveillance. So that is pillar one. The government are in our respective nations being able to look at how you're leading your life, everything that you're doing, and whether or not that contributes to a sustainable future or it contributes to a net negative there. And surveillance is going to be the fun little cameras, like going to the grocery store and having cameras watch everything that you buy and checking the carbon footprint of everything you buy. It's going to be encompassed in technology. What vehicles are you buying? What is the carbon emission of said vehicle? Are you over buying resources? Are you contributing to a lot of the waste in the area that you live in? Are you using too much gas? Are you using too much water? And all of this will be surveilled, because how can we come to a conclusion on these things without knowing exactly how you are leading your lifestyle? Now, this is different for a lot of countries. The Chinese government and the CCP does not really value privacy. They have their own social credit score where neighbors rat out neighbors, friends rat out friends, and tell the government, hey, my neighbor over here is doing something wrong, is doing something that you have not prescribed as government-approved activities, and I want to let you know, and give me points for letting you know, and take their points away for what they've done. And this social credit score will build and build and build through this surveillance, or it will drop and drop and drop through this surveillance. And in order, again, I want to stress, in order to get something like this that is involved, that is as involved as this is, the government has to look at everything that you're doing. Now, how will they usher in this first pillar of surveillance? Well, they'll do it economically, and they'll do it through something called a central banking digital currency, which essentially goes, hey guys, isn't cash and coins and all that stuff that's just like, you know, mixing around there in your pocket, isn't that so inconvenient? Why not sign up for this central banking system where all of your information is going to be housed digitally, and you'll have this digital currency that you now use to do all of your transactions, and we can watch those transactions for you. And they'll market it to you as something that keeps you safe, that keeps you accountable, and that helps you lead the best life possible. But what it really means is that you've given away your right to privacy, a right that you do get to exercise in this country, and now they get to watch every single thing that you do. Now, central banking sounds fantastic, right? It sounds easy. It sounds like something so simple. Why would I want to carry around money? Why would I want to go through all these different things when I could just have it here? The government can control it. Everything will be kept in order. But that's what it means. It means they get to surveil you. It means they get to look at what you've done. And we've seen this become a problem. If you guys remember the Canadian truckers convoy, when they descended on Ottawa and said, hey, we disagree with what's happening right now with vaccination status, with COVID-19 regulations, the Canadian government went, wee, wee, wee. That is not government-sponsored activity. We do not approve of what you're doing. And right now, what are we going to do? We are going to shut down the finances of people who support these protests, who support the things that you're doing, who are donating food to the truckers and donating finances in order to allow them to do what we've decided is not government-approved. So that's the amount of power that you're placing in someone's hands, that because you've done something unapproved, not only will you maybe have to pay fines for the things that you've done, but it might just be that when you go to buy a plane ticket to go and see your family, or you go to the grocery store to buy a luxury item, they go, eh, you've participated in X amount of unapproved government activities, therefore you are not allowed to use this finance system that we've set up for you. It is one of the most ultimate forms of government overreach and control that could possibly be instated in a nation. And this is what the World Economic Forum is advocating for, because they believe that your freedom and your liberty is simply a trade-off for building this more sustainable future. And again, we can argue whether or not their motives are actually altruistic and kind and selfless, or if they're truly in the interest of control. Now, lastly, we have the surveillance aspect of it. We have the surveillance being tied to the economy and the central banking system, which you guys can look up and look into. It's constantly been snuck into some of the bills that we've been passing here in the United States. When COVID came through and we saw this massive COVID relief bill go through, if you go and read through that bill, it was hundreds and hundreds of pages. There's something in there called pork, and pork is all the stuff that doesn't pertain to anything that we're talking about, but has somehow been snuck into this bill. And snuck into that bill was talks of a digital wallet for the stimulus checks and the unemployment checks that were going to be given out by the government. Why would they want to give that to you? And they'll say, because that's the easiest way to get all the funds out to people who need it right now in this time of a pandemonium and crisis. But really, it's because once they've done it, they can surveil everything you do. Now, I spoke briefly about the scoring system and why surveillance and economy, when tied together, become this social credit score. But they have a perfect little acronym for you. It's called ESG. ESG stands for Environment, Social, Governance, which essentially all these three things, how you work and how you contribute to our environment. What is your carbon footprint? What is your plastic emissions? Your plastic waste? What is your trash waste? How are you harming the environment in your daily lifestyle? There's a score. Socially, how are you doing? Are you subscribed to things like critical race theory? Do you believe in racial equity? Are you a supporter of LGBTQ campaigns in your local government and in your community? Social score. And governance, are you compliant with all the different rules and regulations that we have set forth for you to follow in your daily life? Are you buying too many luxury items that don't contribute to your local community or to your environment? Are you doing things that harm others in your community? Are you doing things that are selfish? Are you doing things that go against what I would call a leftist dogma, like critical race theory and gender theory and things like that? All of this will be brought together to give you an ESG score. Now, this hasn't gone down to personal citizens yet, but businesses are already engaging in this, and corporations are being put on an ESG scale. And they're being ranked and told what to do, how to do it, and then following these regulations to get their ESG score. And ESG scores are ultimately going to help them financially. So that's what your life could look like. This is what people at the World Economic Forum and people who subscribe to this Great Reset are advocating for your life to be entered into a social credit system, the likes of which we've only seen in China, and we all know how well that's going. Do you essentially want to function as a Chinese citizen here in America? And let's not forget that this is a group of people who claims to want to help those who are underrepresented, those who are impoverished, those who are underprivileged. But wouldn't something like an ESG score, an environmental social governance score, truly help those? Would it truly help them, or would it hinder them? Because when I'm thinking about carbon emissions and luxury items and functioning in different equitable campaigns that help our society, impoverished people don't have the education nor the budget to be able to participate in something like this. Those are the people who are going to be hurt the most by their emissions out into the community and the things that they can't afford nor have the education to contribute to. So I'm seeing what seems to be a greater divide between these social elite who are traveling to this World Economic Forum in their private jets to discuss these issues and the impoverished who, again, do not have the education or the budget to be able to contribute to this sustainable future that they see. So a lot of this to me seems like elitism and people who want control and power selling you the exact opposite and saying what we really want is everybody to be equal and all things to be equitable, which we know can truly not exist. We will constantly exist in hierarchy. Does that mean we shouldn't be fighting to make the world more sustainable? Absolutely not. But I question that this is the way to do so. Now, if you go to the World Economic Forum site and you look into their contributors, or what they call their strategic partners, let's take a look at some of the corporations and companies involved in strategic partnering with the World Economic Forum. This is 20 of them taken off a massive list. I very much urge you to go to the website and look at all the other companies involved. I'm sure you will recognize the names. I pulled the most recognizable ones. Okay. Here's a list of companies involved with the World Economic Forum who want to bring the Great Reset to you. Amazon, Alibaba Group, AstraZeneca, Verizon, VW, Coca-Cola, BP, BlackRock, Chevron, Citibank, Dell, Google, Goldman Sachs, Intel, HP, Johnson & Johnson, MasterCard, Nestle, P&G, Procter & Gamble, Uber. These are companies that are trying to bring you a more sustainable future. Amazon is trying to bring you a more sustainable future. BP, famous for that great oil spill in the Gulf, is trying to bring you a more sustainable future. BlackRock, who's buying up nearly every single family housing unit here in the United States and keeping you from being able to buy a house, is fighting for a sustainable future. Citibank, Goldman Sachs, Morgan and Stanley are fighting for you to have a sustainable future. AstraZeneca and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson are fighting for you to have a more sustainable future. Now, I think you can tell in my tone how I feel about these massive corporations being involved in our day-to-day lives, and especially being involved in how much resource we have in the future in order to dictate our own lives and in order to live on this planet in a way that we see fit. Do you trust these corporations, any of them from the list that I just mentioned, to be able to control your future and to make decisions about that? Because they're meeting right now to do that. It's just unbelievable to me that they can have all this open on the internet and say, these are all the massive players, these are the things that we're trying to do, and still sell it to you as if, what did they say? What's the word again? We are impartial. They said no ideological or commercial interests. AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Amazon, Alibaba, they have no commercial interests in doing this. They're doing this out of the kindness of their own hearts. I just have trouble believing that. Now, if you do, you let me know. Here's a video from the World Economic Forum of the Australian e-safety commissioner. So really looking over the internet and things like misinformation and disinformation, talking about the WEF and their role as it pertains to the internet and freedom of speech.
We are finding ourselves in a place where we have increasing polarization everywhere, and everything feels binary when it doesn't need to be. So I think we're going to have to think about a recalibration of a whole range of human rights that are playing out online, you know, from freedom of speech to the freedom to, you know, to be free from online violence, or the right of data protection to the right to child dignity. We are finding...
So I love how, again, all of this is just put in beautiful language, recalibrating the idea of freedom of speech on the internet. Think about what that really means, recalibrating the idea of freedom of speech. That's meaning, that it means essentially what I've just said with this ESG stuff. I saw what you said on Twitter last week. It is not approved by any government entity, and certainly not the ones in your respective nation. Taking a point off there, because we've recalibrated freedom of speech, right, guys? It sounds so beautiful. Let's just recalibrate it and rethink what that means. And she talks about data collection. If this comes to fruition, which a lot of these plans are already being, or have already had the groundwork laid for them, this will be the most massive data mining, data theft initiative I think we've probably seen in the entire world. All of this is contingent upon global economies across this entire world, creating a global economy that completely mines every single bit of data that you have available to you to create the perfect world of consumerism and obedient, subservient slaves to make this work to all of us, all the billions of us that inhabit this earth, deciding that we are going to live under one global economy. The amount of data mining and data theft that that would involve in order to do that is just astronomical. It blows my mind. And we've seen people go toe-to-toe with the World Economic Forum, fight against this sort of ESG scoring that is happening right now. One of those people is Elon Musk. Here is a Reuters article analysis. Musk's ESG attack spotlights $35 trillion industry confusion. Now, Tesla was given an ESG score, was ranked as one of the many corporations on this whole ESG scale, but it was recently taken off. So Elon Musk's rejection of environmental, social, and corporate governance scores as a scam highlights how Wall Street's hottest investment trend that encompasses some $35 trillion in assets means different things to different people. The chief executive at Tesla Incorporated lashed out on Wednesday against S&P Global Incorporated after the electric car maker was dropped from its flagship ESG index, while it added some companies whose activities are harmful to the environment, such as oil and gas producers. So the same people who are telling you that your footprint on the environment is the most important thing on the world are taking off Tesla, a corporation founded and created by Elon Musk to create electric cars, to completely change the vehicular industry, not only in the United States, but across the world, towards something that was more sustainable for our environment. A lot of people who were conservatives had a lot of hate for Elon Musk for how kumbaya he was about the environment, because that was one of his many initiatives, the millions of dollars that he donated towards fighting things like climate change and reducing carbon emissions, but he's now been taken off the ESG scoring index. I wonder why that would be. Is it because that Elon Musk, as a man, asserts a certain political threat to the people at the World Economic Forum, that somebody, a man who is a self-described free speech absolutist and has decided to buy a platform like Twitter in order to uphold that idea of freedom of speech? Could it be that he represents a particular threat to a group of people who do not want to see freedom of speech come to fruition in the future? I'd go as far as to say maybe that is the case here, because it clearly has nothing to do with the fact that he's contributed to the well-being of our environment. He's done so more than any other company probably in human history with the work that he's done at Tesla. But that doesn't matter. And because he's done something or said something, speculatively, that goes against the ideas that they're trying to push forth, the ideology they're trying to push forth, they've been taking him off the ESG index. Not that that's something you even want to be on anyways, but it really does point out the flaws in what they are doing. Now, they claim they've taken Tesla off this index because of its poor working conditions. But right at the top of their contributors and strategic partners is who? Amazon. You know, that one company that has the people working in its factories pissing in buckets so that they can meet their quotas on their packages. And BP, who contributed to that, you know, massive oil spill in our ocean. So is it truly about environment, social equity, and governance? Or is it about corporations who say things that I likey being at the top, and corporations who say things that I don't likey being at the bottom when we build this massive global economy? And the people who Klaus Schwab holds dear are Xi Jinping of the CCP and Justin Trudeau of Canada. Are those three men, think about them. Just give it a little quick ponder in your brain. Would you trust those three men with your life? Would you trust them with your future? Would you trust them with building something sustainable? And while we're at it, let's add Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates, who are also massive contributors to the World Economic Forum. Would you trust those strapping young men with your future, with your freedom, with your decisions? Because those are the players here. And when you look up the Great Reset and try to read articles about it and try to find discussion about what's going on, you'll find things like this at the BBC. What is the Great Reset and how did it get hijacked by conspiracy theories? I pose the question now. For those of you who are watching and you think I sound like a babbling tinfoil hat idiot, tell me where the conspiracy theory is born out of this. Because when I see people talking about the World Economic Forum and what they're doing, they are purely referencing their words, things that they've said, their very own website that talks about how they're going to usher in this future through a system of surveillance and social credit scoring and being overlords to your entire life and all of your choices and making sure that if you make the wrong choices, you're with the wrong group and you don't get to live freely in this, in whatever new global world we're living in by the time something like this could come to fruition. You listen to the words of Yuval Noah Harari talking about how biometric surveillance is the future and COVID-19, this pandemic, is going to be the thing that ushers it in. And it seems like the same people who are telling you they have solutions for a more sustainable, equitable future are the ones who are contributing to the disarray that we are experiencing now. And I want to go back to the corporations. So AstraZeneca and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson have all made a significant amount of profit off of your hysteria, off of your medical uncertainty, off of this pandemic that completely struck the world, while they ushered in an enforcement of a vaccine that some of you may or may not have wanted, but it should have been your choice anyways. Amazon is totally fine with data mining and stealing all of your information, having its employees pee in buckets to meet their quotas, but is talking to you about how they want to create an equitable future for those who are employed by massive corporations. Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are selling you cocaine in a bottle and contributing to the massive epidemic of obesity in the United States and countries outside of the United States, creating heart disease and cancer and killing us off by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
And holding trainings, by the way, to have their employees learn how to be less white.
Exactly. And talking to you about being less white and how we need a racialized future here in this country. But they care about your health and your medical wellness. Google, a corporation so large that it is quite literally able to influence the way we vote in elections, can contribute to an insurmountable amount of bias simply by looking at all of the things that you search in, but gives you this beautiful, untouched little logo that makes you trust them and makes you feel good about the fact that now Google has expanded from just being a search engine to controlling your mail, your email, your maps, there's Google Phones, there's Google Fi, there's Google Voice, there's Google Play. They have managed to infiltrate everything and to make you into this massively perfect consumer that just buys everything that they give you. But they care about an equitable future. Morgan Stanley and MasterCard, they care about your finances, and they care about the footprint that you leave on this earth. Nestle, notorious for going into underdeveloped countries, selling them bottled water, creating diseases, talking to mothers in underdeveloped countries about bottle feeding, and end up contributing to killing many, many babies in these underdeveloped countries that they go to. They care about your sustainable future. It just blows my mind that you can look at this and see everybody involved and go, yep, sounds legit. There's nothing nefarious there with their bald-headed German man standing at the head of things like a Star Trek captain and telling you that he has all the answers for your future. Unbelievable. And when you take a step back and try to look at this from a bird's eye view and truly see your elected leaders getting involved with this, having discussions surrounding this, some people in the Netherlands saying that this is a bright depiction of what our future could look like. Mate, we should be concerned. There's room for concern here a little bit. And even me looking into this, I'm like, what do you do? What do you do to stop something like this from happening? Do you know, Taylor? I don't know.
I think you just, get your snack pack of bugs and lay down in your pod and just accept the new reality.
Yeah.
But, you'll be happy as soon as you embrace the fact that you'll own nothing and have nothing. But that question is coming up a lot in the chat. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, this is very ominous and scary, but what can the average person do? And I think it definitely starts with being aware of what's going on and being aware that, this whole Great Reset idea is not just a conspiracy theory. It's the guy, Klaus Schwab, literally wrote the book called The Great Reset. It's a real book written by a person.
You guys can read it.
Economic form. Yeah. So it starts with just being informed and then it's recognizing these things. Is your company participating in this woke capitalism and ESG scores and stuff? Don't support these when you hear about policies and digital cryptocurrency or digital central bank currencies and things like that. Mm-hmm. You should be able to recognize the signals and where to fight back and where to push back. They flourish in the shadows and they put this veneer, like that video we watched that sounded all nice and corporate and fancy. And isn't it great that we're building a better future together? Very dystopian feeling, but they want, that's all the smoke and mirrors. And you need to learn to see through that and breakdown like this is a great place to start, so where you can be aware of what's going on so you can call it out.
Yeah, and it's a breakdown for me. I when I was looking into this, did not realize how many hats their hands are in when it comes to the different corporations and different things that I consume. Like, I'm rethinking everything that I do on a daily basis because I'm like, oh my gosh, all of this is data mining. Like, when you log into your iPhone and they're like, hey, this app would love to track what you're doing in order to help you with your experience. I'm sure you get that question asked if you have an iPhone all the time. No, you're not tracking what I'm doing. No, I'm not accepting the cookies. No, I'm not accepting the
fact. I hate the cookies.
I hate the cookies. I don't want your damn cookies. That's what you have to tell them, ladies and gentlemen, because all of this is a means to collect your data and to just make you fit into and be yet another puzzle piece in this global economy that they're trying to build. And yes, like I mentioned before, a lot of this is going to be snuck into, I think, future bills and legislation that gets put forth. I told you about the COVID-19 bill, which luckily did not get passed and is long gone, where they tried to go, oh yeah, we'll give you all the stimulus through this digital currency thing. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Isn't that so quick? It'll just happen in the click of a button. You don't even have to wait for it to arrive in the mail. You don't have to wait for the IRS, anything like that. That's how they'll do it. It will be sold to you as something that is not only good for your future, but is super convenient for you. And it's something that's going to work out and be so quick. And just think about that and go, do they really want my life to be convenient? Do they really want my life to be equitable? No, they don't want that. And I have a feeling that a lot of young people who are being invited to these things like the World Economic Forum, they love talking about Greta Thunberg. She's going to be there and talking and she's involved in all of this. And there are young people who go, oh, this sounds so great. And this is exactly what I've needed in this time of turmoil and disarray. I need something to point towards a future that's full of well-being, not just for me, but for everybody. And it does attack something that is beautiful about all of us, is that we do want to be altruistic. We do want to give up some things of our own in order to help other people. But if that's freedom, is it worth it? If that's privacy, is it worth it? And some of you might come to the conclusion that it is, and more power to you. If that's the conclusion that you come to, you would love the World Economic Forum. Go check out their website. But others of you are going to go, no, I don't want that at all. That's not something I'm willing to get up. It's not give up. It's not a future that is worth holding together. And for people who are like that, you're on my side of things, and I'd love to hear your side of this. And again, these are the people who create the problems. They create problems, and then they go, oh, there's so many problems. How can we fix this? That's my Klaus Schwab impression. Isn't it pretty good?
I thought it was him for a second.
Yeah. I know you guys were confused. There are so many problems. How can we fix this? If you just give me all your resources, I fix this for you. That's exactly what they're going to do. And I'm done with it. And yeah, it is really just about being diligent, educating yourself, and knowing the ways that they do it. Because that's what shocked me the most, is y'all are sneaky. Because you've been setting the stones for this for quite some time, and they're almost paved, and it's just like we are now catching on to it. We're now seeing it. And all of these social campaigns and these issues that we discuss and we bicker about on a day-to-day basis do function as a destabilizer for them. They create those problems. When you look at all the racializing wars that we're going through right now, and all this talk about gender and sexuality and superficial identity groups that we all now have to subscribe to and accept and talk about and discuss, a lot of people who work for the World Economic Forum, they fund these things. They pay for them. They're having these diversity, equity, and inclusion trainings at their very own corporations. So when you're feeling destabilized, when you're feeling like America and all these other countries are the most racist, sexist, homophobic places on earth, the World Economic Forum raises their hands and sends you an ad and goes, "We are here to fix this for you. Don't you feel so underrepresented? Come join me. Come to the World Economic Forum in Switzerland." I need to stop doing the voice.
I think people love it.
And then you join because you feel like, oh my gosh, the world is so horrible. We need to fix this. And they're the ones who made you feel that way. They are like an abusive boyfriend. They kick you and create the problem. And then they're like, "We need your support to fix this. I'm so sorry. It wasn't me who kicked you." And that's where we're at right now. So don't allow it to happen, and don't allow them to trick you into thinking that we are not naturally making progress just by being humans who love innovation and love helping each other. We are naturally guiding ourselves toward a world that is sustainable. Now, could we be helped in that? Could we care more about the earth? Yes, we could. And I know that sounds like a crazy thing that a conservative would never say, but absolutely, yes, conservatives do feel that way. Everybody feels that way, I think. That the earth is something that is precious. Our existence on it is something that is precious. And building one that is sustainable, not only for the earth, but for us, would be a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of things that all of us can do in our daily lives to make that existence better for not only the earth, but for us and for our future generations. But to have a government come down upon you, especially a global one, with inspiration from the Chinese Communist Party, come down and tell you what you need to be doing with your life and surveil everything is not the answer. Look at yourself as an individual. Do things as an individual. Do things in your community that promote individualism and all of your community working together to do things that are great for you rather than Mr. Klaus Schwab telling you what you need to do. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't trust him. I'm interested to hear if you guys do trust them. Is there truly good underlying this? Or is it like I think it is, that these massive elites who want more power come together and trick other well-to-do, well-meaning people into falling for this ideological hole that they've created, and they just watch you trip into it and laugh as you fall down to the pits of hell. That's how I feel. Let me know if you feel something different. And I think that concludes our episode for today. Taylor, any other thoughts?
I mean, I think you leave it on a positive note by saying promote individualism, think for yourself, be skeptical, don't support companies that engage in this kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think just, you know, this is an important episode because this is something that's going on. And there, you make no mistake, there are powerful people who are trying to invent new ways to spy on you, to track your behaviors and to dictate behaviors and incentivize certain things and give you credit scores and all this stuff. And it is something real that is in the works. And I was thinking this while you're talking that, like, traditionally, anytime there's an authoritarianism, totalitarianism, you usually have like a central dictator, and through history you look and it's like it's within a country and they do these type of things. They have snitches, they have incentive structures where you rat out people, or they have ways of spying on you. And historically, that's done within a country by a government, by a dictator. And this is a new evolution of that. And for modern times,
yep.
where it's done by a global network of the private sector, global corporations, and world government leaders who are basically conspiring together using all these new technological innovations. And they're trying to institute this new world order, this new this new utopian vision, because they think they're smarter than us. They think that they know how to live better than we do, that they think that your freedom is an inconvenience to their vision, and
right.
they want to manipulate you by manufacturing crises and manufacturing solutions to those crises that they manufactured and presenting themselves as the solution so that you can give up your freedom. And just do not give up your freedom. Your freedom's precious. Be very skeptical of anyone who asks you to give up your freedom, to give up your privacy. I think just having a healthy skepticism about all these things going on right now is just it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just being smart and being an informed citizen.
Right. You're exactly right. Keep yourself informed. Make good decisions if you can. It is becoming nearly impossible with the corporations that I listed. And like I said, that's just scratching the surface. You can go through their strategic partners and see what other people are involved in. I think you will be surprised to see what they so openly are willing to admit to you. And we are going to do more episodes on the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. Do not think that this is the end of it, because I feel like we barely scratched the surface of what this actually is and what this involved. We just want to give you a general overview of what this means and this World Economic Forum happening right now in Switzerland, the type of things that they will be discussing. But we could go into each of those pillars of surveillance and economy and scoring and do it in entire thousands of episodes on how these things happen and all of these different corporations and their involvement. And we do plan on doing so in the future. If there's a specific subject matter that we touched on today that you would like to see a deep dive into, let me know in the comments down below. Have a different perspective, a nuanced perspective that I didn't get to, leave that down in the comments below after the show as well. Give the show a like. I think we got it to 300 likes. Maybe if we didn't, let's get it to 300 likes. You guys have been so great while I've been gone and been sick of boosting this channel, watching all the videos, subscribing. So I appreciate you guys so much. After the show, I'm going to let out every single cough that I held in while we were doing this. So I'm doing okay. Taylor's foot is broken, but he's alive too.
Yeah, I mean, just because everyone keeps asking me, it's volleyball. I play beach volleyball. Broke
yes, you can tell the story.
After 5 years of playing every weekend, somehow just landed funky and it's broke. So that'll be fun. But yep. We made it. We made it through Amla being sick,
yeah.
Me breaking my foot. We got banned off of YouTube temporarily last week. That's a story that got buried. But we were about to go on this big campaign and they reversed it because it was a stupid thing, that some technicality. But anyway, so Amla's channel was banned, but we got it out of jail. And we're back in the saddle this week, ready to, you know, come at it even harder.
Yeah, we're back. We're falling apart, but we're still running, ladies and gentlemen, so we will be back.
We're apologizing even less on this show.
Yeah. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like to listen to us, you can go to Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review over there. Let us know how you feel about the show. Even if you dislike it, go and let me know in the comments what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and I would love to hear it. I do read all of your comments and respond to some of them, so I always like to hear what you guys are thinking. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with a new hot topic and a new hot take. Bye, guys.